listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael and everyone. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those that are listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore science and spirituality, the human spirit, and the wider world around us. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And now for tonight's topic, facing challenge and adversity.
Ooh. You know, I think it's a really timely topic, and I know we've touched on it in the past, Michael, but there just seems to be a lot of stress going around.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of things going on in the world, and, you know, we've almost been able to say that for a pretty steady clip now.
I know.
Going back a bit, but, you know, the world's going to throw a lot at us. I mean, just in the normal course of living in existence, you know, natural things are going to come about to form challenges, and it can be trying. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before the broadcast about the different types of challenge and adversity that you see all around us. There's so many that, you know, almost swarm the senses. You have, you know, the international, domestic, depending on where you're at, and you have just, you know, the broader world news going on, the current kind of culture wars, the stresses, things like that. And of course you have your home life and your work life and just the normal day in, day out stresses. But Dr. Hunter, any thoughts so far?
Well, I think you nailed it, Michael. There's so many different kinds of stresses. But if we tackle propaganda, news, you know, other things, I think we have to take all information in context and not let it overwhelm us. And if there are things that do particularly distress us, do some research to make sure it's true. That would be good, because sometimes it's not that we hear or read about. But the other is just to find a balanced picture of it, you know. And we're all doing our part in the world, knowing our place, whatever that is. Like you say, there's internationally and domestic and, you know, your general politics. And, you know, if we're participating and doing the best we can, then there's no sense to worry. I mean, we can think about it, but worrying isn't going to improve our daily life, that's for sure. So I know, like, I mean, I glean through the news every day and I raise my eyebrows and go, oh, you can't make this stuff up. You know?
Yeah, it's almost out of a satire, you would think.
You would think so. But. And part of it is I do it just so I stay aware. That's my thing. I just want to stay awake and stay aware to what's going on. Now and again, I'll vent to somebody. I can't believe this. And maybe that's my problem. I need to believe this. For instance, today it was a big thing in the news. Everybody's upset in Canada because Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, bought donuts in Winnipeg. they thought he should be buying Tim's more local. Well, it was a local bakery, and Tim's got bought out by a U.S. company. So I did a little vent on Facebook because have we all lost our minds, you know, really? Because that's
– Burger King, the company that owns Burger King, bought out Tim Hortons.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just – keeping in context what people are getting upset about. I mean, it's just such a silly thing. And I really believe a lot of people are behaving like radically because of stress and the overwhelming. So they pick on things they think they can have control over, which is not true. But so it's just kind of dumb, you know, really.
You said a few things that I loved. You know, first off, bringing up context and balance, two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you really hit on a great point, I think, and I hadn't thought about it before, that this whole outrage machine that's generated, that, you know, people get outraged over this and they get outraged over that. And it's a loud minority online, Twitter, Facebook, what have you. But it just occurred to me that they're, just like you said, they're being outraged over that because they're not willing to, or they're not, you know, ready yet to express the outrage they're feeling at something else going on in life. You know, they're displacing that anger. That's a wonderful point.
Well, and that's what it is. And I think if we check in with ourselves, and we're all pretty bright people here, you know, we just check in with ourselves and ignore the dumb stuff. Like, just, you have to, because like I say, you can't make this up. But because we have enough things, again, different kinds of challenges and adversity. I think somebody's asking after Mike a little bit, Michael, and because they're hearing me fine, but not you. So just a little sound issue there a bit. You were cutting out on me just a little also. But I think closer to home in our daily life, let's take the example of, I feel like I'm managing my life fine, but I go out and I meet all these people and the traffic and the different things. And it's about keeping that in context too, that I'm not going to allow myself to be infected by that. There's some days I know I just need to go home, but I go by a premise of sense, feel, think, and do. So, I can feel a certain way, but I have to use my senses. Like, what's my instinct or my intuition telling me about the environment that I'm in? Now I'm thinking, see? And then I look for potential solutions or viewpoints that I can ponder in my mind and make a conscious decision about what I want to do. What do I hope to achieve? What do I want to accomplish? What are my goals? So again, that's interacting with the outside world. On my inner world, so I know I'm kind of moving really along fast here, but on my inner world, I have this tendency to ride it out. If I'm having an emotion, or I'm having a difficult day, or, you know, I'm kind of concerned about things, I go, you know, okay, this is new. I got to ride it out. I know when to rest. I know when to go do the dishes, sweep the floor, you know, find those menial things that my body can keep moving so my energy keeps moving, or again, whether or not to rest. Because the mind is an interesting thing. When we're stressed, we tend to fixate. And that fixation, it takes on its own energy. But to be aware that that's what you're doing, so, I'm fixating here. I see. Well, and then observe yourself. So it is kind of like stepping back outside of yourself for a moment and being more conscious of thoughts, attitudes, and knowing that sometimes we just have to roll with it. You know, if there's nothing I can do in this moment, I have an ability, and this is from being self-employed for so many years, is come Friday night or Saturday, there's nothing I can do about that. So I, in my mind, check out. I go do other things. I enjoy myself. I do writing. So I know that I'll think about that on Monday. So I've developed that ability or that skill to say, if there's nothing I can do about this in this moment, then I'm going to think about it, and I give myself a time when I'll go think about it so that I'm kind of programming myself. If I do have emotions that are kind of getting carried away with themselves, I do that self-observing and say, ooh, this is going to be a ride. You know, when last year, and I'll say on a personal note, Michael, we talk about adversity and challenge. Mm-hmm. When the doctor said, yes, your test came back positive for cancer, skin cancer, I kind of went, you know, in that, oh, it's not the first time I've heard it before, so okay. But I said, oh, I guess I needed something to do. You know, it's like, oh, something to do. This is something to think about. Because there has to be a certain amount of objectivity to it. Yes, I am going to process this emotionally. And there are moments when you say, yikes, you know, okay.
And things become a reality.
Sure, there are those moments. At the same time, I don't take it to heart. You know, I don't take it on in a way of it's futile or this is crazy, because I faced all that stuff before in my life. I mean, I think if it's the first time you've heard it, sure, it's the impact, that shock, trauma, and then the days following. But it's more about, some challenges are, I really do say, well, this is something to do. Oh, this is a new one on me. I haven't had to experience this before. I wonder what I'm going to do with it.
Well, that's definitely a positive way to look at it. And, I checked my mic levels. Everything should be fine. I moved the mic around a little bit. So
hopefully
that helps.
I hear you better now, too. So hopefully somebody will say something in the chat.
But Well, I was just going to bring it back to, you know, what you were talking about. It's about viewing life in context. And, you know, something that I've tried to do in the past is just to remember that no matter what's going on in my current moment, that somewhere else in the world there's something wonderful happening. And
or something worse.
Well, yeah, but that's not the way I'm trying to go with it. Come on now.
Okay. I hear
Well,
you.
Yeah, sure, there's things that are going on that are awful. There's things that are going on that are worse, and there's things that are going on that are wonderful. My point being is that if I'm having a bad day and I'm feeling, you know, in my circle, this is frustrating, that's frustrating. Now, it's true, I need to put myself in perspective, especially looking back on the history of all humankind and the lives that most humans had to endure, especially in the last several thousand years of human history. I would be doing a disservice to them if I wasn't appreciative of the, you know, luxuries and other things that we have, especially in the first world. But the other thing that I was trying to point out is just realizing that no matter how bad a day you are having, you know, out there there's, you know, some kid learning something new for the very first time. You know, there's a baby being born into the world. There's always new possibility being created. There are wonderful moments happening. And, of course, it makes me think about the wonderful moments in my past and very, you know, hopefully in my future, too. But it's not just about me. It's the fact that we're all part of a larger thing that is humanity, that is life itself. And understanding the balance of things, the context of things. And we talk about facing challenge and adversity. And the big thing about that is, you know, having the motivation to rise up to that challenge and adversity. Mm-hmm. And to understand why we are doing what we are doing, to not fall into that trap of hopelessness, and to understand that, you know, that working towards a better world and working towards a better personal life, which will bring about a better world if you do it the right way is worthwhile. And it's worthwhile, if nothing else, just to experience this world while we're here in this reality, on this plane of existence, in this life. Whatever came before, whatever comes after, is really unimportant because we're here now. We have to decide what are we going to do here and now. And, you know, there's, again, a balance.
You know, we can't, of course, and we can't minimize really impactful moments like getting sick, or like losing your job, like not having enough to pay rent, like, you know, you just lost your home. Like those things. There's very real
catalysts.
Absolutely. These events that put us into shock and trauma, and, you know, we're all going to, and I don't think there's any exceptions to this, is the emotional internal upheaval for that moment that it's occurring, you know, and then where your brain kicks in and all the other things kick in, and what do we do? How do we move forward? And, Audra just mentioned motivation to keep going is really difficult at times. And that, absolutely, Audra. The motivation, though, if, and I think, Michael, you really nailed it too, is to take it outside of ourselves for a moment. That this is where, okay, let me give you an example. A tornado comes through, you lost your home, everything. But people are alive, we're good, okay. The neighbors. Help the neighbors, help each other. And that's where we're all in this together. And you don't have to look for motivation at that point because you're living the motivation. So you don't have to look for it. You're feeling it. You're experiencing it. Everybody's leaning on each other, depending on each other. There's a sense of purpose and movement. If you're in isolation, however, that's very different. How do you find the incentive or the motivation? I still am going to say, take it outside yourself for a moment. Mm-hmm. Observe the feelings, observe the emotions and such, and move through it and reach out to somebody. Talk to a friend, you know, start thinking about various possibilities. Depression is a really big deal. It's so easy to fall into depression for people. I mean, I get it. I've tasted it, my too. It's not a nice place. Mm-hmm. But to ride that out for a minute and then reach out so that to know that you're a valued member of planet Earth and your family and your community, and you'll start to lift yourself. It's like a spiritual lifting. The other thing I would like to add, though, is as we go through challenges, don't forget your body. Your body stores all this extraordinary memory. So you can emotionally, mentally, and that's where we're talking balance, Michael, too, is another angle of balance, is to make sure that you're bringing your body with you, that you treat your body in a really kind way, that you kind of observe the stress, reassure your body you're okay, get some rest, make sure you're eating properly, or at least enough that you can get by, and so that we don't, you know, trip over that later. And but it's about reaching out. And you know, Angie just wrote, hopelessness is a really bad feeling, and if you can do nothing else but offer some hope to someone, then do that, because it's enough. It's absolutely, that's exactly nailed it. Mm-hmm. So it's always to, and I mean this, always extend it outside yourself. That moves your energy, moves you through it. Isolation is not the place to be when you're dealing with stuff. There's always people out there. I know, yeah, you got a problem, you phone somebody, oh man, everybody wants to fix your problem, right? Everybody's got a solution. Surround yourself with people sometimes who just are willing to listen. You know, I'll figure it out as I go. I just, you know, want to bounce it off and, you know, just vent it out, and we're all good. Solutions will come later.
Well, that's sometimes support. Exactly. Sometimes all we need is we need to be heard. We need to know that somebody else understands that we're suffering, that we're hurting, that we're we just need to connect. And we're not alone. And we're stronger together. We're stronger when we rely on one another. And, you know, great points. And I love them. interesting tie-in. Their greatest indicator of longevity is being, active and socially active, especially. Just, maintaining ties with, I'm not saying you have to be the life of the party, you have to know dozens and dozens of people, but that you have a community that you interact with, if it's a circle of people, and that you engage. And there, it's been proven, and this is, sad, but it's been proven that loneliness is more dangerous for your physical well-being than any carcinogen or, anything cancer-inducing. It will have an impact. The mind and body are connected, and the old adage, strength of body, strength of mind. Great points.
It is. So in facing adversity, check in with yourself. What is there a solution that's right there right now? No. Do I have all the information correct? Maybe not. Be investigative, be pursuing of facts versus just emotional response, so the outside world to the inside world. And look at situations that we're in and what kinds of options. Now, the next thing and the final thing I would like to say about this particular topic is, be willing to change. Be willing to change your mind. Be willing to let go of things that it's obvious in your face, it's not serving you anymore. Be willing to be resilient. Be willing to change. Because life is going to change anyway. So, it's always going to pose those things. So we need to be willing to change. Stay true to who you are. That's not the point. The point is to be willing to adjust yourself. Be willing to move over to make room for something new. And look, letting go of things you love, for instance, is not easy. But that's emotional, right? I'm the first one to say, purging old stuff and say, why have I been hanging on to this stuff for 40 years, and letting it go? But it had a value to me at that moment and that time, and now I'm in a different place and letting go. So be willing to make changes. Be willing to change yourself without giving yourself up, because there's a lot of strength in us that we haven't tapped into, and we don't know about it until we are in a change.
Ah, so well said. And we're all just doing the best we can with the information that we have, and when we get new information and new understanding, new awareness, then exactly, we have to be open to change. That's perfect. And you beat me to putting in chat if anybody wanted to have cards, and I just had to delete that whole sentence.
No, I put cards, anybody? We can move on. If you have any other comments, I really appreciate everybody having some good chatter in the chat room, processing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say a great quote that Heather put out in chat. Be yourself as everyone else is taken.
I
I
love that
love
one
that.
too.
Speaking of quotes, earlier on, I was thinking of this one. We were talking about, focusing on what we can control and worrying. And I remember this, and I don't know who to attribute it to. I think it was a baseball player from decades ago, maybe. But they, somebody asked him, "Why don't you ever worry about anything?" And he said, "Well, if it's something that I can control, then no reason worrying about it because I can do something to fix it. And if it's something I can't control, then no bother worrying about it because I can't do anything about it." I always
That's a
thought
good
that,
one.
yeah. I want to throw that out there.
I think the stress is, where do I look in my mind to find a solution? I think, and is there one? I think that's the pivotal moment that we all face is, okay, here's the challenge. What are my options? But I have to think outside my already schooled brain. There's got to be something else. So, but that's what I mean. Be willing to change. Be willing to be open. Well, let's begin, shall we, Dr. Michael? I
See?
believe Dr. Jeff is first. I see Jeff's name first in here. So
All
do you want to,
right.
shall we do the inner oracle card and then the tarot card to boot?
Oof. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. By the way, I apologize if you hear any ruckus. I always say in the background, there's a wild animal just batting things around down here. Call animal control.
It's called Wild Cats
yeah.
in your house, yeah.
All right, so Dr. Jeff, great card. Pulled wild card number 5, Don't Hate.
All right. That's appropriate for the topic we had tonight, too, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, you know, in support of that, Jeff, I got the King of Hearts. And my sense about this, and I think we all have this, there's a moment we all do, when there's so much antagonism around, or all the knots and the don'ts and the no's and the stuff, but it's to come from your heart. And that King of Hearts, you know, I love that, come from your heart, check in with yourself, weed out all that other, and that purity, the purity of thought, that raises your vibration and creates your unique pathway. So I hope that resonates with you. I love the King of Cups, the King of Hearts for you. I think it's really appropriate because I know you a little bit and know that you always come from a good place and a good heart. So don't let this other stress eat you up on a bad day. So, all right, we have Dr. Edward up next.
All right, Dr. Edward. Always trying to pull one we haven't gotten before. Number 5, Law of Control. Yeah. 5's in a row. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
You know what's cool about this is now I pull the King of Spades. Oh, I like these kings. The King of Swords, if you're talking tarot language. King of Hearts, if you're talking regular deck of playing cards. Control, King of Spades. So how I translate that for you is it's checking in with yourself about what's assertive versus what's aggressive. And what can you control? How you can affect change by being, making suggestions or being assertive, drawing those boundaries, but all in kind of a good way. Because the King of Spades is a good leader, provided he's insightful. You know, it's to be insightful about what others need, what they, it kind of reminds me of when I was on a board of directors years ago and I had to peg what each one needed, what their what their thing is. So when I started saying all the things that needed to be done, you know, it's somebody might put their hand up or I ask who is good at this or who would like that. So it diffuses any stress and putting things on people they're not comfortable with. So it's being a good leader. So I think there's an interesting situation for you right now that might be calling on you to be insightful that way. I like it. I do.
Very nice.
So, right. Heather is next, I believe.
You were correct. And for Heather, I pulled number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities, especially good on tonight's topic. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, Heather, you got something going on here because the Hanged Man came up for you. I love that card. It's one of my absolute favorites. Open-mindedness with the hangman. I always think of Odin on the tree of Yggdrasil, hanging upside down and emptying his pockets. Who am I without the physical material world? Who am I? So that open-mindedness, it's empty the thoughts for a moment, kind of like Maslow's hierarchy. Imagine for yourself that you have everything that you need, and then you go into more of an existential understanding of yourself and consciousness, perhaps. I think you're crossing a bridge somehow here, Heather, in knowing you and tapping into some little awakening. So I think that's very exciting for you. I like it.
Very good.
Audra is up next, I believe.
And for Audra, I pulled number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. Higher self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, in support of that, Audra, I got the 4 of Hearts and the 4 of Cups in tarot language. What that means to me is opportunity that can be given or taken away. If you're feeling threatened in any way about losing things, there's just because it's making room for more others to come. If it is that, in another way, what's esteem validation, it's kind of looking for your own opportunities in yourself, what's coming to you. Any number 4 is always stable. 4 likes stability. But it likes change. But what kind of change? And in this case, it's the heart. So it's about feelings. It's about regard for yourself and for others. So esteem and validation. You're learning to validate more of yourself in those ways. But I would say there's a little opportunity around the corner. That's my intuition there. Hope that helps. Dr. Shirley, nice to have you here today again. Michael, what do you have for Shirley?
All right. I pulled number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy.
Wow.
Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Well, surely, to support that divine energy, I'm seeing here the 2 of clubs, 2 of wands. I have always seen that as someone who is looking into the future. It's like, what is the pathway? Looking at the opportunities, looking at the possibilities of what steps to take to go forward. In this case, I'm feeling that you already do know where you want to go. It's what are the steps? So it's that moment where you meditate on it, you look around and see where the break is, like look for the opening, if you will. Sometimes it's about cracking a nut, right? It's like, where is that crack that you can step into? So I think you're onto something too. And it's just take inventory and move forward because the path is laid. I like that.
All right. And I think, I think we have Wendy next, and I think she's the last card we have tonight. So if that's not correct, then if we missed you, please throw your name in the chat again, and we'll make sure to get you a card. All right. And for Wendy, I pulled number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Well, in support of that, Wendy, I got the Four of Hearts. The Five of Hearts. Sorry about that correction. Five of Cups. Now, that's always taking inventory to me. Like that somebody, if you see the picture in the Rider Waite, it's just standing still before you cross the river. What do you have? What's extraneous? And so it's like taking inventory. And so you're finding truths in your inventory at the moment, I see, before you move forward. Moving forward is assured. It absolutely, no doubt about that. It's just sometimes before we take that leap of faith or that leap to move forward and make a big decision, we have to just kind of take inventory. And I take inventory every day, so there we go. But I think this is a little more significant to you. It's a pivotal moment in your life. And so moving forward's assured. Wendy, just stop. Ask yourself, digging really deep. What is my truth? What do I have? You know, what are my possessions? What do I have to work with? And you'll find a lot of force in that to be able to go forward. So hope that helps. Hope that makes sense to you. So as you said, Michael, I'm not seeing any other names tonight. Somebody saying they're talking about us, like not here?
Dr. Jeff had thrown in some great cards tonight, and then Audra had been kind enough to say that you've been spot on for several times in a row, and then both really mentioning they're talking about us. We really appreciate that. Now, of course, on my end, if there's anything that really connects with you, it's definitely not me. It's just the universe talking through the random chance of pulling that card for you. But Dr. Hunter definitely has an insight that I appreciate. But glad it makes you think. Glad it's connecting with people. And that's what it's there for, you know. So,
What I really hope that does, number one, gives you a little message of the day, because everybody likes those and we need those. But the other is that it serves as kind of an inspiration to you in your own life. It's being able to tap in yourself and learning that there's always something else beyond what we're immediately seeing. And there's always other layers of energy flying around. Yeah, I had a discussion with a woman the other day, and of course, sometimes people like to believe they're a lot more than they are, and then they get fearful of people who are psychic. And I said, look, there's random thoughts going on all the time. You know, there's psychic energy, telepathy, you know, quantum connections going on all the time. I don't need to tune into all that. It's everybody gets that because that's their stage of evolution on their journey. When I read for somebody, it's what's relevant. There might be three thoughts out of 1,000 today that's significant in this moment. And that's the only thing I need to know. Right. So it's bringing it down into some kind of fundamental, purposeful information that we can continue to move forward. But we are all tapped into that cosmic connection. Everybody has it, but we're all here human, living in a human body, living a very human existence and, getting through a day sometimes.
Very good point.
It's just to make sure that we're grounded in that. So you take that cosmic energy, all that universal energy, all that information, funnel it down into this moment and what's needed today, what's necessary, what's relevant today to live this human experience. because we're all contributors here. It's not just about what we're learning. It's about what we're remembering about ourselves spiritually and how we're going to act here. How are we going to behave? What are we going to contribute while we're here? So that's my speech, Michael.
Well, that was a good one. I dare say you had that pre-written.
Well, or somebody, I was just channeling it, I don't know.
But that was very well said, very well said.
Great show tonight, great talk, thank you very much.
No, yeah, it's been, well, they're always great topics, well, talks, chats. It's always great to really explore a topic with you, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate everyone that can join the live broadcast. You know, I know we have a lot of people that listen to the Archive podcast, but for those that can join us live and can join in the chat, it makes it, you know, all that much more special and makes it that much more interactive. And we always love engaging this community, kind of a community of the curious, to borrow a phrase from another source. Yeah. But
well, something I'd like to talk about next week, if you're up for it, Michael, is savants. And yeah. How, and I sent you a link, I don't know if you had time to read it, but an extraordinary doctor who has been doing research about how some people, the average age is 47, wake up one morning and they're savant. They can suddenly play music or they can suddenly do math. I'd like to explore that in a discussion if you're up for it.
I think that'd be fantastic. Actually, yeah. At this point, that's going to be my... I'm counting on that. I'm counting on waking up at 40 and being able to do something miraculous. So
we don't know.
You planted an idea in my head. But.
There we go. It happens. It's really interesting.
I think it's going to be a great topic.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
so everybody,
explore it.
Now, you know, we'll find a title for it, but we're going to talk about savants and how it can happen at any moment, not just being genetically born with some kind of extraordinary ability.
I was just thinking to myself that, you know, sometimes even in my 30s, I'm still wondering if I'm going to be a prodigy eventually. I think that ship sailed.
Well, according to this research, it's possible. We don't
very,
know.
Very true. Looking forward to exploring it. But thank you all for joining us. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.